This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The people who run the U.S. military are finishing their latest effort to deal with a constant challenge. They have to move a gigantic bureaucracy quickly enough to adjust to a changing world. From Iraq to Afghanistan to the rest of the world, their job is to keep up with enemies that may have less money and technology, but often have the ability to adapt. NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports on the effort to keep the U.S. military ready for whatever comes next.
Senior Pentagon officials are in the midst of a broad and intensive examination of U.S. military strategy, known as the Quadrennial Defense Review. Since the first Gulf War, the nation has taken the position that the military should be ready to fight on two major fronts. But the end of the Cold War and now increasing terrorism have changed the Pentagon's mindset, at least in some circles. Terry Pudas, acting director of the Pentagon's Office of Force Transformation, says planning for the future has become much more complex.
During the Cold War, of course, it was very comfortable. I mean, there was a defined competitor. And now as we move into a more complex environment with expanded security challenges, it's required us to rethink the way we do our defense planning.
During the Cold War years, U.S. military planning was based on the perceived threat from the Soviet Union. The Pentagon emphasized acquisition of warplanes and big-ticket, high-technology systems. But in the age of terrorism, the threat is dispersed. It could come from just about any place in the world. Dov Zakheim, Pentagon comptroller under Donald Rumsfeld until last year, says the defense secretary has adopted a new approach to the changing threat environment.
One of the revolutionary things that Mr. Rumsfeld did, he switched from what's called in the jargon threat-based planning to what is equally jargon capabilities-based. And that essentially says we don't know who we're going to fight, but there is some kind of generic capability we'd have to confront, and we need to be able to have the wherewithal to deal with that generic capability.
According to Terry Pudas, that shift in approach requires a reassessment of the two wars policy.
I think what the folks are doing is trying to expand their thinking and saying, is this the right construct upon which to base a force structure? We're beginning to expand our lenses a little bit on that particular issue.
Andrew Krepinevich, executive director of the Washington-based Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment, says the two wars policy was driven by possible threats to the U.S. from the Persian Gulf and North Korea. But today, he says, the U.S. faces more irregular threats in the form of terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, or attacks on U.S. information systems and energy supplies.
The sorts of problems or dangers that you want the military to focus on has really changed dramatically. And in that respect, the old two-war planning baseline is obsolete.
Secretary Rumsfeld has asked Pentagon planners to focus less on traditional threats and to put more energy into planning for homeland defense and the likelihood of smaller or unconventional wars.
I think that that's a very foolish and dangerous way of looking at things.
Frederick Kagan, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, a Washington-based think tank.
Because it imagines that we have a much better understanding of what threats we're likely to face in the future than we actually do. It's remarkable for a guy who's fixated on, you know, known unknowns and unknown unknowns and all that, nevertheless to be extremely sure that he knows what we need to worry about and what we don't need to worry about, and therefore that we can afford to take risks based on our estimates of what is going to be coming down the pike. I don't see that as being a sound grand strategy.
Kagan says the U.S. must be prepared for all eventualities, such as a military confrontation with Iran or North Korea, or even the assassination of Pakistan's president.
If you want a real nightmare scenario, consider what happens if somebody shoots Pervez Musharraf and Pakistan collapses into civil war, and now you have jihadists trying to seize Pakistan's nuclear weapons. This is a massive problem. There's no simple solution for it. But if it isn't keeping strategists up at night, it should be.
Although Andrew Krepinevich says the two wars policy may be obsolete, he agrees that the Defense Department must be prepared for anything, large or small.
Radical Islamists are different from potential attacks on the American homeland, are different from growing militaries of state actors like China that could be tempted to use that military capability. And so Rumsfeld's big challenge is, how do I arrive at the right mix of military capabilities so that I've got a good balanced force that doesn't force me to incur unacceptably high risk in a particular area? And then that's difficult to do.
Making Rumsfeld's job even more difficult is the federal budget deficit. The Pentagon wants to plan and equip the military for a broader range of missions than it's faced in the past, but competition for defense dollars is intense. Pentagon planners in the next few months must decide which defense expenditures would most improve U.S. security, knowing the possible consequences if they are wrong. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.